If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and take your Bible and go ahead and turn to Romans 8. That's just going to be a beginning scripture, and then I'll have you flip everywhere if you want to flip. If you want to watch or make notes, you're more than welcome to. Today we're continuing a message series that I started, Pursuing His Power. Last week we talked about power aid, needing an aid that God has given us, His Holy Spirit. This week I want to talk about the miracle within. Let me start, though, with a little story. One night, a wife found her husband. He was standing over the infant's crib. As she was watching him looking down at their very first child, she saw on his face a mixture of emotions: disbelief, delight, amazement, a little skepticism, and enchantment. Touched by this unusual display from her husband and these deep emotions that were aroused, her eyes glistening, she slipped behind him and put her arm around him and said, "A pity for your thoughts." He says, "It's amazing. It's just amazing. I can't see how anybody can make a crib for $66.95. Some of you are getting it. Sound like a man? To look into a crib and never really see the miracle that lies within. In that crib laid the most greatest miracle of God's creation, the birth of a baby. All the father in this story saw was just the crib. Couldn't get past it. He's not the only one, though. Many times people look at God's handiwork and they can always see the outside manifestations. I don't know about you, but I wish I could understand the universe better. The other night I stepped out. It was just one of those darker nights, but it was clear and the sky was full of stars. And it's just an outward manifestation. I mean, those stars, they tell us, are humongous. And light years away, just incredible. But sometimes we always see the outward manifestations. We really don't see the miracle that happens within. Whether it's the miracle of the birth of a new baby, or maybe the miracle of the birth of a new Christian, one who puts their faith in God. What a great miracle. But sometimes we always see the framework of that and we judge the framework and miss the miracle that lies within. God's word, though, tells us that there is something very exceptional that lies within His people. When we accept Christ as our Savior, God puts His presence into our lives. Romans 8, verse 10. It reads this way, "And Christ lives within you." So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. Heavenly Father, this morning I pray and ask you to help us notice the miracle that you placed within us. And Lord, to honor that miracle by the way we live. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, when we obey Jesus by repenting of our sins, the Bible says we'll have a promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Ephesians, Paul writes to us and says that God's Holy Spirit is a mark of His ownership on us. Listen to Ephesians 1:13. "And you also were included in Christ." Church, that ought to get us excited right there. We're included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Luke informs us about the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The miracle of the Holy Spirit. That God would live in us and through us. There are those who believe the Holy Spirit is some inanimate object. It's kind of like the crib. It's there. We tend to always sometimes recognize it, but it is more than just something that's within us. It is life within us. People accept the idea that God's Spirit, yeah, He can live in us, but they don't think the Spirit does very much. And therefore, if you do not believe that, you miss out on the power of the miracle within. Jesus clearly states to His disciples when He's teaching them about the Holy Spirit, of what the Holy Spirit is for in John chapter 14, verse 16. And I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another advocate to what? To help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. He goes on in chapter 16 through this discourse, and He's talking to them and brings it back up in verse 7 of chapter 16. But in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He'll convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Jesus is telling His disciples here and telling us today that when He would go away, He would send His Holy Spirit back in His place. He would send power through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does many things within us. He helps us understand the deep things of God. I don't know what you think, but you need to understand that if I say something or something may come out of my mouth and it may sound like, wow, you need to understand only the Holy Spirit can bring that revelation. You say, well, you said it. No, the Holy Spirit revealed it. Nothing we know. You think we have any wisdom at all? Back in the days, they didn't even know how to make fire. Where does that wisdom come from? It comes from God. And the Holy Spirit causes revelation to happen to His Word. I don't cause revelation. The Holy Spirit causes revelation. We just speak the Word and He reveals it. He reveals the truth of God's Word to us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. How many people think you might need help praying? You know what? One of the very first things I hear people who do not know God, they know, I don't know how to pray. Well, let's get on with it. It's really simple, because as soon as you believe, He'll put His Holy Spirit in you and you'll learn how to pray. And the Holy Spirit helps us with that. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit empowers us for ministry. And He also has spiritual, supernatural gifts. Wow. Holy Spirit has all that? Sure He does. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12 when Paul writes to the church here. In verse 1, Paul says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And he goes on in verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. All of these operations, these manifestations of the Holy Spirit are great, but I believe they take place for a very essential purpose. I believe the most important reason that the Holy Spirit was sent is found in Acts 1:8. These manifestations, they're great, but listen to what 1:8 says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice in this passage, it says first that they would receive the Holy Spirit, which would give them power, and that power is to help them be witnesses. The power is demonstrated through manifestations and healings and touches that come from heaven. But it's all to witness of who Christ is. It's to bring glory to Him. We've been called to be witnesses because of the miracle within. The disciples, do you realize, could have started the church without waiting for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, go wait. Do we obey or disobey? Well, I'm glad they obeyed, because I believe they would not have been effective without the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Church, wake up. I'm going to say something that sometimes I don't know if I should say things or not. But they come to me and I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit with it. Listen, the church is dying today because it has no life in it. There's no power. It's a form of godliness. I talked a little bit about it last week. We need to guard that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk about why we need that power, but it's not for me, it's for the purpose to be witnesses of who God is and what He's done, the gospel that He wants to work into the lives of people. And they could have started that church, but it would have been ineffective. God desired His power to be a part of His church 2,000 years ago and today. Peter said, it's for your children's children and their children. So when does it end? It's for today. I know at times, though, people can feel frustrated in their witnessing and that, because we don't understand the pivotal point of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to understand the miracle within, because that'll help us see the bigger picture. We are to be led by the Spirit. Yesterday, I had the opportunity, my son is going to be in band this year. We're out looking for an instrument, so we decided to do Craigslist. And I was out and about and went to a home that had some instruments, and we looked at them. As I was there, there was a man and a woman, and I'm looking, and she happened to ask a question. She said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor, and this was in Livonia. I said, just across 275 on 6 Mile, I pastor Northfield Christian. And the man spoke up, and Addie, I don't know if you remember this, but he spoke up and he asked Addie a question. He was like, you have to be really good, don't you? You can't do anything wrong, can you? And I just spoke up. I said, we've all messed up. All of a sudden, you need to understand, there was a moment that the Holy Spirit opened. I did not go to that house to do evangelism. I had other agendas, but that's where I was willing to lay my agenda down for what God was doing at the moment. And all of a sudden, I just began to talk to him. I said, we've all messed up, but you need to understand, there is a grace. If it was not for grace, you know what? If I started trying to work to please God, I could never please Him. But you know what? He's allowed His grace. Jesus died on the cross so I could be forgiven. You could be forgiven. And all of a sudden, those two are just standing there. And they're like, yeah. Why? I didn't do anything. The Holy Spirit had already gone ahead. The Holy Spirit opened the door. Church, we're just to be witnesses of it. John 16:8, listen to this passage again. And when He comes, talking of the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. One of the primary responsibilities of God's Spirit in the world and in our lives is the convicting of of sin. It convicts of our need of righteousness and also to awaken somehow the reality of impending judgment. In other words, you need to understand this. You and I do not have to convict people. Amen. We have not been called to convict people. We don't change their hearts. That is the Holy Spirit's job. What are we to do? Just empowered witnesses. If you go to a courtroom, there's a judge that sits behind the bench, there's a prosecutor, a defense attorney, there's a defendant, and then there is a jury, but there's witnesses there. Now, a witness is just to give truthful testimony in the courtroom. Do the witnesses prosecute the defendant? No. Do the witnesses convict and judge the defendant? No. Witnesses do what? Witness. They do their best to give true and honest testimony. Why? Because they realized, now listen carefully, that the verdict may hinge on how well they witness. Why? Because others are listening. Their only job is just to witness, to testify. The convicting of people of sins, the need to live righteous, and the closeness of the judgment is the Holy Spirit's job, not ours. But that does not mean our testimony is not important. Our witness is important. Without our testimony, without our witness in the world, how will they know of or hear of the good news? Listen to what Paul reiterates when he writes what Isaiah wrote in 52:7. In Romans 10:15, Paul reiterates this. How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that's why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Notice the inference here. Unless someone witnesses, people cannot hear the gospel. If they do not hear, they cannot believe. If they do not believe, they can't call. If they do not call, they can't be saved. You see, your role is to be the witness. The salvation of the people we care about hinges on our faithfulness to be a witness. Our witness is just of the good news. And it's of such value to God, He regards that your feet are beautiful. Most of us pull off our shoes and look at your feet. My kids look at my feet, see my toenails, and go, ooh. But see, God doesn't see the outward. He sees what's within. And He says, your feet are beautiful because of what they do and where they go. I want you to have beautiful feet, church. I want where you go this week to God look down and sees what's within you and where you're going and how you're living. But for us to be an effective witness, we need a touch. We need a power. We need a testimony. Paul realized how much he needed God's Spirit. I want you to hear what he told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 2:3. He says, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. The Holy Spirit desires to work through us to witness to others, but it's when we're weak, He becomes strong. The Holy Spirit can help guide us to people that we should meet with and that we should talk to. The Holy Spirit can give us the opportunities to witness in word or in action. We should just be following His lead. But church, to do this, we have to die to self. We have to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if you do, you will be such a blessing to others, but in turn, you will be blessed. We as Christians, you need to understand, are often held to a higher standard by those of the world. Have you found that? Have people watched you and expect more of you? That's good. But listen, what happens is, by some, we're called weak because you're a Christian. You're weak. You have to rely on something else. Others call us hypocrites because sometimes we miss the mark. Do you know, church, we sometimes miss the mark? And we're ridiculed and people attempt to humiliate us because we miss the mark. Church, we do mess up. We do sin at times. But that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit within us because He's our helper. He's the one that within us, the miracle within begins to transform us too. See, so many times we want everybody else transformed, but the Holy Spirit convicts me of sin as well. The Holy Spirit within me is leading me to righteousness and also reminding me of impending judgment so that I'll continue to witness. Church, I need Him to be my advocate at times. I need Him to be my comforter at times. I need Him to be my lead, my guide. Holy Spirit will also give us boldness, though, church, when we need to stand strong in the faith. I'm going to be honest with you. I think the days are coming and are at hand that you're going to be challenged more than you ever have to stand strong in your faith. In Acts 4, we're told that Peter and John were arrested for preaching Jesus' name. They were beaten. And before they were released, they were severely warned that you never, ever preach publicly in Jesus' name again. What did they do, church? Well, let's find out, because I think it's important for us to understand the process. First of all, they returned to the church and they began to pray. See, so many times we can get ahead of God in what we want to do because we get this boldness, but I don't think it's Holy Ghost boldness. I think it's just our own stupidity, because we get ahead of God and we're not listening. Do you remember one time when Paul was, he was so excited about sharing the gospel, God was doing great things, he was going to go to Asia Minor. Do you know what the Holy Spirit told him about witnessing in Asia Minor? What do you say, Pastor Art? Don't do it. Don't go there. I thought this was what we're supposed to do. I'm just going. No, it's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We go where the Holy Spirit leads, and Paul was sensitive enough to know that. Listen to what happened in Acts 4 with Peter and John. It says, they began to pray, and they said, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats, and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." You know why they needed to pray that? Because they had kind of lost it. We need boldness. My back has been beaten. This is not what I enjoy doing, but God, I know what you're called us to, and I need that boldness again to do it. Stretch out your hand with healing power, they prayed. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. But it was in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't something I'm just going to do because I'm on fire for God. It's because I'm following the fire. I'm following where he is and what he's doing. I don't have my own agenda. My agenda is God's agenda. Church, they were filled with power so they could be witnesses. They were asking for the demonstrations. They were asking for the miraculous that the Holy Spirit is more than able to do, but I want to do it when you want us to. And he filled them. If we would allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, he'll not only give us boldness, but he'll give us creative ways to be bold. There's a story about a Salvation woman. And it was at Christmas time, and she was out doing her collecting for the Salvation Army. But a police officer walked up to her and told her that the local ordinance would not allow her to ring the bell to invite contributions. So the next day, she observed the ordinance, but went out on the street corner as well and did an even better business that day as she waved one sign and then another. And the sign simply read, "Ding, dong. Ding, dong." Church, we need to obey the laws of the land. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, will give creativity to how we live and how we walk and what we do. That's the way we should. There was a Sunday school teacher teaching her class the Apostles' Creed. Some of you may know that. She gave each child one of the statements, and they were about to do their presentation. So all of a sudden, they began the recitation, and the first one stood up and said, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." The second one spoke up and said, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." And all of a sudden, the others began to chime in. And then finally, it came to one spot, and it got real silent. And finally, another girl spoke up and said, "The little boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is absent today." But church, I wonder, is that what's happened at the church at large today? If the one person that has the Holy Spirit don't show up, then he's not there. He's not mentioned. He's not brought up. Church, he has filled his church. It is in you. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. I desire that He would fill His church again. Church, I would even pray, I don't know if He wants to do it this way, but wouldn't it be kind of cool if the foundation of this place was shaken? Yeah, we'd have to repair if it broke open. Maybe we'd bring people in and show them, but it wouldn't be about what would happen in here. It would be about what happens in here. Church, but do we desire it? I want them to empower, to be witnesses, to be bold. He would guide us. He would lead us. But we have to empty ourselves. I have a little illustration to help. Object lesson for you this morning. I need someone to help me. Let me just, Pastor Scott, I'll just have you come help me out. I won't put anybody else on the spot. You'll be good with this. Just hold these two glasses. This morning I have Alka-Seltzer here. How many have ever used this? A few of you. You know what it does. How many do not know what Alka-Seltzer does when you put it in water? You don't know. Okay. Well, we're about to find out. Let this for a moment just represent the Holy Spirit. Here's what happens in a lot of people's lives. They say, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? Holy Spirit in them, right there. He's right there. Isn't that cool? Does it change anything? It's there. Let me ask you, at Christmas, how many of you ever gotten a gift at Christmas? That should be every hand, I would hope. If you've never gotten a Christmas gift, please let me know. I want to bless you this Christmas. How many received a gift and you've never ever opened it? You receive the gift, it's wrapped or in a bag or whatever, but what do you do with the gift? You open the gift. There's so many people, I'm afraid, though, have said, I have the Holy Spirit. But the problem is they've never really unwrapped the presence in their life to see what God wants to do. So let's unwrap and see what could happen here. It begins to change. If we would allow the Holy Spirit to unwrap His presence in our life, it would begin to change who we are. It doesn't just reside, it feels. It doesn't just look like it's there, it feels it. In fact, if you'll let it, I'll move this down. You'll even hear the Holy Spirit. If you'll let Him impact your life. But I think it's too many times we recognize there's a gift and it's great and we just keep looking at the package. Church, it was a gift to the church to change the church. Not to leave us where we were, but to impact us, to impact others.